Hello and welcome to the 8th Manx Footy Pod of the 2018-19 season. Today myself and Dave are joined by Castletown chairman and all-round legend, Patty Quinney. Patty, welcome to Podcast HQ. Dave, it's good to be back, isn't it, in the bosom of Nigel, in my newspaper's editorial meeting room, isn't it? Because we've been away the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, it's been nice. We've had a nice little sojourn over to the FA headquarters.
Yeah, Simon's been feeding us with biscuits. Patty, so welcome in. Patty, thanks for coming in. We've been trying to get Castan in for the last couple of seasons. You've been hard guys to get nailed down.
Yeah, no, we've tried to get some of the lads down as well, but so busy today, some of them, try to get Gary and a couple of the others down as well, but fortunately, yeah, can't make it, so I brought myself down the prom this afternoon. I could get through a few things.
I can't think of a better man to have in.
Exactly, yeah. And I
suppose we should really, having gone up north to do the youthy boys, we should really think about doing the George one day.
Let's go down there.
And have maybe a George. We could do the Twitter poll, couldn't we? Which Southern Ale House should we do the next Twitter podcast from?
Down in the Union.
The Union, there you go. Can't get me, I'm part of the Union. Right. Right, we've got some biscuits in, Patty. I know you just said you're a bit hungry. So we've got some ginger nuts. Those of you who follow us on Instagram, at @ManxFootyPod, will have seen I've been teasing you with the stories all day. Dave, you're a big fan of ginger nuts, aren't you?
I am, yeah, but I have to say, they're quite noisy to eat during a podcast.
So that's, who cares? We've done it before.
It's a background noise, it's a sound effect.
So. Ambiance.
That's what we aim for.
Oh, they're not as fiery as I remember. What do you think? Do you think they've changed the recipe?
They're not my favourite biscuit, but... They do like Jaffa Cakes, they're the ones to get.
Jaffa Cakes, well, we had Jaffa Cakes. I only had my first Jaffa Cake on the podcast with last season, Dave.
I think so, yes.
Yeah, I wasn't a big fan.
It's controversial.
It's like a slightly off chocolate orange, wasn't it?
It was, but they're still good, and you know, they get a bit of a kick of energy from them, which I always need. So. What's your biscuit of choice, Patty?
Rich tea, good.
Oh, ooh, I do like a rich tea.
Yeah. Classic.
Mm. I don't feel as like I smashed...
Don't leave it stuck in your cup for too long.
I smashed a packet of Hobnobs this week at home, which went down, didn't go around too very well. But rich teas, you don't feel like you know, because they're only thin. You think, oh, they're all right. They're,
deceptive. Yeah.
They're not going to put half a stone on you. You know what I mean? Not like a Hobnob. Anyway, we're not here just to discuss biscuits, Patty, of course. We've got you in to discuss things, all things Castan. The Mets taking on fellow promoted side Moran on Saturday in the Candlelife Premier League, or CLPL as it's known to its friends. Dave said in the paper today, the Manx Independent is on sale now. Is it a six-pointer? Would you agree? Or
yeah, massive game. We've done well so far in the games we picked at the start of the season. The games we've got to try and get the points from, likes of Moran being one, Royals, Waxy, St John's and others. They slipped up the other week, which is a bit of a surprise. And bottom line, we've done all right. We've got those results. We've got 6 points in the bag. The one result we probably should have got something from is probably the Johns game. We lost 2-1, where I thought we deserved something out of.
Yeah.
I think if we get a result Saturday, I mean, Moran, we had a couple of tasty fixtures with them last season. Mm-hmm. Towards the end, decided the title. Then we had the Paul Henry race. It was all get quite interesting going into the end of last season. I think Saturday will be quite a tight game. I don't know what sort of availability Moran's players have in their pitch. We've asked to switch if it's dodgy,
right,
as well, but there's no comeback on that yet. But
they just want to keep the Crosby and Monkey brains, I think.
That's
what it is.
Again, we've never had a week where we've got a full strength team, and even this week we've got a couple of the uni lads available, which is great, but we've got a couple of the regular lads. Like sort of, Mr. Crawley's unavailable this week, he's away, so it could be interesting. I mean, we have a strong team, but it can always be stronger. We never seem to have that full strength.
And you said that you pinpointed games ahead of the campaign, but you must have been a bit surprised at maybe St John's and Laxey, how they've struggled, or were they always teams you thought you could get points off?
St John's has surprised me a bit. I mean, I've heard Holder's not...
Yeah, Rick stepped down, yeah. Nickingham's in charge at the moment.
Laxey, I was aware pre-season that they'd lost a few numbers, so I was a bit unsure how they would progress this season. So I thought, to be fair, they would be in the mix with us. And it seems to be that it is those teams in around, that's the key. Royals, they're struggling, but they got the result against St John's, so it's very much all to play for every week, big games.
And is it changed the dynamic of it at all? Because there's only one place this year, obviously, because Braddon haven't joined the party this season.
I think it does, yeah, because you're probably looking to think, well, if Royals only get so much, then if you can get so far, you're probably safe. But you can't really think like that, because you'll start getting complacent. You just got to take it a game at a time, try and get the results you can, and a couple more results, a point, sneak a point here or there against one of the better teams, if we can, then run our way.
Yeah, bonus points, as Tony Mappin famously calls them.
You obviously, as you say, you've talked at these games right from the start, and speaking to you and Gary Sansbury in the pre-season, you mentioned then about possibly bringing players back from university for all these specific games, and we've seen it in the last 3 weeks. You've had the likes of Joel Callow and Kieran Collister, and obviously Jack Kamada's come back, and they've made a huge difference, haven't they? It must be such a bonus for the rest of the lads.
It is a bonus. I mean, firstly, well, I remember Jack got, I believe, awarded Young Player of the Month.
He was, October.
And deservedly so. I mean, Jack's been a great asset. I mean, he only joined pre-season. He obviously had Cal Cup last season, but he's one of the new, like, young assets that we've got in that team. And people forget the team we've got, even though some of them have been playing first team on and off for 4 or 5 years now, they're still, most of them are 21 and younger still. I mean, it's a phenomenally young team that if they keep working together and playing well, I think in a couple of years' time, the cast iron team, if they stick together, could be really good.
Yeah.
Could be a real threat.
I think we agree. You know, you've got obviously quite a few of those lads have played either in last year's under-18s Ireland team or currently still in the squad and, you know, are progressing nicely as well. Absolutely. So a lovely spine, or I think that's what the pundits call it, a nice spine to build.
Yeah, and the likes of, you know, Jamie Cadwallader and Conor Garrett seem to have been in the first team for years, as you say.
Both playing well as well, in the first team every week. Connor's been missing a couple of weeks, but he played last week. And you've got, like I said, Lucas Simmons coming from Royals as well.
Yeah.
Good asset. And Adam Convig, he came from Laxey to start the season. All featured in the first team. And we've got had a few, obviously, weeks where some of those uni lads are missing. There's been a couple of the younger lads, and they are young. You're talking 16, 17. That are coming in, either going on the bench or sometimes even starting in the first team. Like a young lad, Jake Plant, started last week. He's played right back or left back. He's played quite well, fitted in quite well. And a 16-year-old, he's the youngest out of the lot of them.
Yeah.
And he seems to be started off quite well in first team football.
Adams is an interesting one though, isn't he? Because obviously he was a goalkeeper at Colby, and then I think that's why he signed at Laxey, wasn't he? But you're playing him outfield at Castor.
Yeah, well, when I've known him through the junior football, obviously I've worked with his dad as well. He's, I've known him to play outfield as well, and he seems to like Paul's in nets.
He's a legend. Yeah, I took offence to me calling him 68 on the podcast the other week. But of course, I was only jesting. But he pulled off an absolute belting save of the game.
Against Royal. Yeah, it was a crack.
But he seems to pull off a couple of worldies every game, doesn't he?
He does. Yeah, he plays quite well. I think the idea is like Adam can do a turn in nets, but he can play well outfield as well. So I think the questions we asked, like first week, does he want to have a go out, and he's willing to take the turn. So the option's there. I mean, we've got a few people in the team that have actually done a turn in nets. Ross Mulligan and a couple of others.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Done a turn. But no, I mean, Adam's done well for a young lad. He's played well a few games he's had in the first team.
We'll go back to last season. You mentioned it briefly that the Division 2 title race was definitely one of the most exciting for years, even the Paul Henry. You lost it on goal difference. Now, let's talk. Now, at the start of the season, was the title on the agenda, or did you suddenly just find yourself in that position, and then were you gutted to lose it like that, or was it just you just wanted to get up and that was it?
The main priority last year was to come up. I think we wanted to win the title, obviously, but that would be a bonus. It's unfortunate the way it happened, because we played around. We had so many games in a short period of time, which doesn't help matters, but I mean, man, fair play. I think the two best teams went up. I mean, we got the Paul Henry out of it, so we didn't end the season trophyless.
Yeah.
So it was, you know, it was a successful season for us. It's just unfortunate that it came down to goal difference in the end. Because you think, if you in hindsight, if you go back to some of the results where we did lose points, you think, you know, that could have been the turning point.
Yeah.
And we could have maybe won the title from that.
But it's around, obviously, I think we talked about it at the time, they came up on the rails, they came out of nowhere after January, after having a bit of a, you know, we talked about the pitch. If you start the season, then being held up maybe with a performance of the pitch. But they put together a great run of form.
Yeah.
And that momentum seemed to take them over the finish line in the end. But it could have been a lot worse, couldn't it be? You know, you could have lost, I think Colby in the past have lost out on promotion on goal difference. Yeah. So that must be even more of a heart wrenching.
Yeah, because then they've got to go and do the whole thing again season after, which is harder again.
We talk about the battle it was to get up. Has that stood you in good stead for this season? Because obviously, some teams, I think we talked about when we had Douglas Athletics lads, and if you cakewalk Division 2, it's an absolute massive culture shock when you're in the Premier League. But we've had to battle for every point like it was in Division 2 last season. It's probably not too much of a mindset change for when you get to the Premier League.
The gulf between the top of Division, the Premier League, and top of Division 2 is vast. I think it gets bigger most years, if I'm honest.
Mm.
But the way I sort of see it, I think the lads have been told from last year, the plan was get up, then you stay up. From that, you improve again, and then you can, then only then, in a couple of years when the lads are a bit older and stronger, then you can compete. It's a few years before you can get into this, before you can see these lads get into the level of your Corinthians and your Russians and your Geordies and Peels. But if they all stick together, which we hope we will, we'll have a decent team in a couple of years time that can compete in the senior competitions in Manx football.
Yeah,
well, the main priority at the moment is staying up.
Well, I think that's, you know, the best way to look at it, build from there. You know, St John's have done that. I know we were having a struggle this season, but they came up, built, consolidated, and apart from this season, this has been a bit blip, but have tended to improve year on year, haven't they?
They've been really good, yeah, they've done well. And how is the health of Castletown as a whole? You know, obviously, you know, you've got great facility there. You had the redevelopment of the stand last year. The Combi's obviously not doing too well, but everything else seems to be to be really on the upwards.
Yeah, it's been a problem. We knew the start of the season, because we didn't have the numbers in depth for the Combi last season. We struggled along with the team. We lost, obviously we lost a few of the uni lads, but we got players that, you know, would rather apply their trade in the second tier in Combi 2 because they enjoy it rather than
a more take, of a social aspect.
Yeah. Rather take the step up to play Premier League and Combi 1 football, so we lost a few numbers there. So we've had to scrape around to find people who, you know, want to play football on a Saturday. We have a couple of heavy defeats, and then we send a group message out in the week. This is the squad for Saturday, and then as of last week, it comes to Saturday, and then I had 12 names that said yes in the week that were going to turn up, and we didn't have enough. It's embarrassing for Corinthians and that, because they all turned up and they're ready to change. But we haven't got a game this week. I've spoke to Tony and that rep about what we can do. We've got Russian a week on Saturday. I've said to lads, they can't get up for that game.
No.
Because that's the local derby.
Yeah.
I think it's the ideal game to try and kick start the season.
Yeah.
Get them up, get a team, have a competitive performance. And from that, we can hopefully second half of the season kickstart the Combi and try and get a few points on the board. But first and foremost is try and get a team out next week. We need to have a discussion with some of the lads coming days.
We've talked about it at length, isn't it, on the podcast, haven't we? Is there a problem with player recruitment at the moment in Manx football? Why do you think people don't want to play Combi football in this instance, or just play football in general?
If you take a look at it, I mean, I think senior football in the Isle of Man terms of participation has gone down quite a lot in recent years. It's probably been going for a number of years, I don't know how long. But you look at all the other sports, I mean, 20 years ago when we were like teenagers and that, all you did was play football and what have you.
Yeah.
No one picked up a hockey stick, or no one picked up a rugby ball to play that at a senior level. And then you've got all these other individual sports. Cycling's massive now.
Golf. Running.
Everyone picked up a golf club and everyone would rather do that. I think the FA need to look at it and tweak it to make it more, I don't know, more interesting, or make it more viable for the senior people to get back involved. There's a lot of people there, really good footballers at my age and younger, that are still decent enough good footballers that aren't playing football.
Mm.
if they get them back involved. And I've heard the talk of try and get to three leagues. Whether that would work, I don't know, but I think the FA should try something.
Yeah.
Because I think going with the current format, I do worry for years to come if that'll work, because you might start losing other clubs.
Yeah, and but I suppose to balance it, the other view is that we're actually done very well to survive this long with 26 clubs or whatever. So it is 26, isn't it? And most have two sides, because if you look across UK, there's clubs folding, leagues folding.
And
even I think we've looked at Jersey in the past, haven't we, Dave? I think they've only got maybe eight teams in the top fight or something like that. So to survive as long as we have, maybe we are bucking the trend.
Maybe. One thing that concerns me, because if you look at the 26 clubs, and don't look at the players, but you look at the people who are sort of running the clubs, they're all off like an older generation generally. What happens in 20, 30 years' time, are those current players who, majority of them, no disrespect, don't have loyalty to clubs because they want to play to where they want to play.
Yeah.
Are they going to be committed to a club to help run that club in 20 years' time?
That's a very good point, yeah. Well, as you say, you've probably done every role at Castletown, and you're probably the exception for most clubs, but that's what it tends to fall on, the same two or three people, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So it begs the question then, so how did you originally get involved in the club?
On the senior perspective, I started coming up when I was a kid, 9, 10, 11 years old, watching the seniors on a Saturday. One of the senior players will probably take your training and then take you to matches. I was never a very good footballer, but I was always keen. So then I think when I got to 14, 15, I wasn't playing as often, but then the senior team was doing really well. I mean, we won the league, 99, Millennium Men, last champions of the 20th century. Mm. And from that, I got involved to do the club programme, just be involved in that, then got a bit older to start doing the bar, then got on the committee, just little jobs around, and then the senior team, a few of the numbers are starting to dip in the combi, then I started getting back involved playing that way. Obviously I'd rather not to play enough to have this, a strong combi, but I'll dip in with my boots every now and again when I can.
Super sub, yeah. You can always rely on you. So
how long have you been in the club? So as you say, when you were 10, 11? So
yeah, probably about 25 years since when I started as a junior, yeah.
It's a quarter of a century, Patty. I don't wish to make you feel old, but 25 years.
That's dedication.
I want to say, who's the best player you've seen turn out for Town in that time?
In that time?
Because as you say, there's been some good teams. There's been some very good players in Castletown in general, but there's been some good teams as well, isn't there?
It's tough. Tough question, because I didn't read that bit. I haven't had time to think about it.
Well, obviously, Dan Hattersley used to play for Castletown Conwy, and then he obviously played professionally. You've had the likes of Mike.
He's played more first team football at Rushing now.
Yeah, well, apparently, that's a good stat.
Yeah, it's good.
That'll be a nice stat for next week, obviously, as well. then you've had the likes of Mike Williams played for Castletown briefly, didn't he?
They're all quite young at the time. I know Hattersley was immense in that first season. I remember he scored over 100 goals in. If you count under 17s and Combi, a phenomenal player, great potential. If it was kind of proper, full senior player that I thought, wow, you're really good, I'd have to say John Palmer.
Well, of course, yeah.
Johnny Palmer was probably at his peak, maybe just when he started playing for Town, maybe before when he was at Pulley, but he was an immense player and instrumental. I played a half of them once at home against Paul Rose. I think he scored 7.
Wow.
He didn't pass the ball once, but that was why, because he was that good.
I can see him dusting his boots off yet about Glaxi first team yet, because he looked a frustrated...
He still signed on,
a frustrated figure last week because they lost to St John's, but we'll talk about that a little bit later on. We've got tons of Twitter questions for you, Pai.
I've seen that this morning. I was hoping I'd get away with it. I thought they'd all come through and the videos come through.
Talk about the video in a minute. That was definitely worth a retreat. But first question, Dave, from Tony Sewell.
Yeah, our podcast favourite, Tony Sewell. Patty, are you allowed to play league games on a Friday night on your floodlit pitch? And if not, why not?
This is an interesting one, because I approached the FA about this within the past week, because... We had a friendly against Rushing for the Combi a couple of weeks ago, and we had a mixed team out, sort of Rushing, and it was quite good and all that. I thought wonder what chances we'd get if we played a combi game on the Friday night, because you might get more interest and you might get, say, some of the ones that didn't play first team the previous week that might be eligible to play in the combi to try and get numbers. And I think, first of all, I gazed with our players and we already had more than, we had like an abundance of players for the Friday night.
Right.
So I thought, I give them a ring and our lighting isn't really sufficient enough for to cover the whole pitch. There are a couple of corners that are dark and stuff, and without looking into it officially, the FA kind of said if you did do that in the current state and someone got injured,
you'd be liable.
It's one of those scenarios. So, but I think we're gonna look in to see if we can get those corners lit up properly so we can get games on there on a night game, like a proper night, because I think it'd work.
Yeah, I think it'd be great. Yeah, definitely.
Because it'll be an addition and one venue to like your St John's and your Bolt and your night fixtures.
So my Friday night out.
Yeah, I was going to say, and you've got the clubhouse now and the Bolt, so the facility's there for a refreshment after the game.
Not at the moment, no, but that's something that we will look into in the near future, hopefully.
So that was a good question, Tony.
Yeah, cheers, Tony.
Jürgen Kovic, we've obviously mentioned his young lad. He said, who's the better assistant to the manager, Butty or Mingo? Now, that's a bit of a loaded question. I've never heard one.
They both play their part. I mean, Stu's been involved with the club for many years. He's helped Gary along with the first team for like the past, I think, 6 years in this part when Gary got back involved. And when Ross came back from Russia, I think a year, 18 months ago, a bit more, he sort of started doing more of the training work and helping out more on a Saturday, but I think it all works together, the three of them, quite well.
And Gary, I know he must be one of the longest serving managers in the top flight now. I know you say he's had a break, but he's been, how many years has he been with Castellano?
Well, this time around, he's been over 6 years, but he's done it a few years before when he did it, so...
Yeah,
quite a long time. Yeah.
I reckon he must be one of the longest serving managers in Manx football now.
Yeah, I'd agree. Next question's in. A couple from your good friend Ben Qualtrough here. We'll start off with the ridiculous and then go to sublime. Can you explain what your venomous leg is and why the bouncers in the courthouse nearly experienced it when taking your father-in-law's walking stick from you on your stag do?
My grandfather-in-law's walking stick. venomous leg, well, that one goes back to the school days on the playground. If it was never, you know, someone would wind me up, someone was getting a big boot to the leg. well, it's usually the same person. I won't mention any names. That name.
Have you used it on the football pitch?
Was it
the venomous leg? Has it ever
not been? Intentionally. but probably classed one. I got my first booking the other week.
Oh really?
Someone was a bit too fast. So. We just missed the ball by about a few yards and he was gone.
I can see this venomous leg coming out against Russia next week in the combat. Also, Ben had another question, which is a good question for you. What could football do to keep more people like you involved in the game? He also adds the comment, it's essential we have people like Paddy to govern and oversee football at a variety of levels, but could so easily have lost him when not being picked for teams as a teenager onwards.
A lot of people, you know, if you're not picked as a kid, they probably would, you know, to be fair, go off and do something else. I just think trying to keep, certainly the young levels, I think Manx football is quite good up to like probably high school age. They've got an abundance of kids, and then you start to see those age groups seem to have less and less numbers. I think if from a club level, you can try and keep those youngsters involved. I think we can start doing it in Castletown. What we used to do is try and bring them up as like, do the gate, get a couple of kids to do the gate, or just be involved on a Saturday. I used to always go up on a Saturday with a few mates, and it was good.
I remember the famous kids on the gate at Castellan, because you always felt obliged to give a quid then. It's harder to say no to a kid, is it?
We've started doing it with some of the first team games, the home games, and it seems to be working, because we got Ross's young lad doing it the other week, and it was, it's a good way of getting them involved. I don't know, I think, obviously it is hard, but I think people just need to keep positive. If it's, I was never a good footballer, but I was always keen in being involved in football. I think going up training with the seniors, when the seniors were like the top side, you know, I just like, you watch them for a bit and you think, you know, this is how, they're not messing about like we are kids, they're doing this in a professional manner. You think, you know what, you want to aspire to try and train like they can. Mm. You know, maybe one day I'd be able to play combi or something. You know? I don't know. It's hard. I think.
Do you think this should the kids maybe, if they're interested, should you just approach clubs and say, "I'm not. Maybe can I help with the tees? Can I do the help with the program? Yeah. Or can I
think the problem the games consoles these days don't help. Either. Right, there'll be kids stuck indoors on them all the time. I'm trying to get my young fella back involved. He's 16 now, but he works on a Saturday job. So
right, yeah.
So it's like. You know, people are going to take money over play a kick about football, aren't they? So, I mean, it's fair play.
Do you think it's slightly different in, I was going to say, in clubs like Castletown, where you are sort of part of the community, as opposed to with the Douglas Club, you've got a clubhouse and stuff. With some of the Douglas clubs, obviously, I'm thinking maybe St Mary's because we're at the bowl, they haven't really got that base. Or do you think it doesn't really matter? It's the same problems facing everyone.
I think Douglas clubs might be easier because you've got so many clubs in a small area, and they all seem to talk to each other and all seem to like, you know, down south, I think if you're not really aspiring to be like the best club, you want to play Division 2 football this season, you probably go Colby or go Molly. Mm. But the better footballers at the moment, if you think you're a really good footballer, they'll probably go Russian rather than come to us.
Right.
Which seems to be the case sometimes, but we've got a couple of like really good footballers in likes of the likes of Jack that have signed. Mm. Hopefully, in the next year or so, we'll attract a couple more, you know, names and boost the team.
Yeah,
consolidate yourself in the top flight, and then
that's what we need is survival first, and then push on after that.
Tyler Marsden, congratulations, Tyler. He sent us our first ever question on Facebook for a podcast.
I mean, he's
trying to get them in the old conventional Twitter manner. But he asks, he says, get Paddy to tell you about his stats spreadsheet.
When I took on the secretary role, every week used to have to put in the team sheets. So I thought, I wonder if you could keep doing this, and then I started creating a spreadsheet, first team combi. I did it, do it each year, and I've kept doing it, I still do it. Now, I had a bit of time, a few years back, I went up to the museums, tried to collate a few results, and Colin Moore's done a bit as well, which he's still got a few of the old minute books, so I've tried to compile that on a spreadsheet, and I've got them all going back about 30, 40 years at the moment.
Wow.
They're still a work in progress for historically, but at the moment I've got all the team sheets and results from when I started secretary going.
Wow.
A bit sad, but it's quite interesting.
There was that great stat last season, which I presume is yours. It was Alex Crawley got his 300th goal, didn't he, for Castletown? Was that last season?
Might be.
Five hat tricks in a row or something.
It might be too far. I don't think he's reached 300 yet.
I thought it was.
Oh, 20. It might be a senior. I'll have a look. But yeah, it will be from one of my stats.
We've had a couple of tweets in from the official Castletown Twitter feed. They want to know, how many ties do you lose during a season while dancing after a few beers?
Now, we should point out, this was accompanied with a video.
This video is amazing.
To be honest, I haven't really listened to the audio. Have you listened to the audio?
No, I've been transfixed by the dancing.
We should paint a picture, shouldn't we? So you're on two bar stools. Is that in the Castletown clubhouse?
Yeah, it was. The idea was you had to get on the a stool to sing the song, and I didn't realise someone was going to video it, but it's what you do after a few beers, you get on board and start.
He had the tie around your head, which is obviously, I think, what the reference is. You looked a bit like Rambo. So what was the song?
Kung Fu Fighting.
And did you manage to hold on to your tie that night, or is it lost?
You know what, I don't know, I can't remember. That was last season.
It looked like quite a blurry night.
Yeah.
The less said, the better. Another question in from Castletown asked, if you're on the board at the FA, what would you do to make football in the island a better option for young kids, as teams seem to be struggling with player numbers?
Well, I think you've answered some of these, but would there be any rule changes you'd make? Or
I think a lot of the rules around that, they kind of stem from across, which is a problem. Mm. I don't know. I don't think at times the English FA accept that we're on an island and we can't get players every day from other counties to come to us. I mean, junior football, you're stuck with your age bands, which work to a degree, but then you come to like 16, and then you've got this 18s league, it seems to be working what they're doing in the 18s league this year.
Yeah.
I was a bit sort of negative about it last year, but they're only playing once in every so often. But six teams, I mean, remember not so long ago, your Carroll Cup was 18s and they were getting 16 teams or whatever. So that's how much that age group's declined, I think. But
it was last week we had the girls on last week, and they were saying that in women's football they struggle a lot with the 14 to 16 age group. And Kim Hicklin was suggesting that maybe they should be allowed to play senior football at 14.
They used to, didn't they?
Yeah.
And then they jumped it straight up to 16, so it was ridiculous because you had players playing and then they weren't allowed to play, and then they were playing again.
So what would you think that would work with the men's? Now, obviously, we talked to Simon Nelson from the FA about it last week, and he said it's a safeguarding thing. It's not...
It is, yeah.
It was about changing facilities more than anything.
Yeah.
You can't have a 14-year-old changing with an adult.
Which is bizarre, because you've got these players in the Football League that they can play in the 15 for some reason. I think the rules are different at certain...
We saw one that scored in Peru or something like that.
Yeah, the 14-year-olds,
Which is just, as you say, bizarre. But
they are 16, they are, but I've had a thought about it where you could probably...
I don't know if it would work. I had a thought of where you could have, like, a summer competition where you could have, like, your youngsters, like your under-21s, you're 21 to 35s, and like you're 35 and overs, and like essentially draw those of them out of a hat and put them like in like franchise teams.
Like a draft.
Yeah. And like some of like a franchise league of about five or six teams, while they get to like meet other people from other clubs, but integrate those young players with others. It's just an idea I thought. I don't know if it would work.
Yeah, well, it's funny. I did an interview with Rick Holden before the season started in the summer, and one of his ideas, which he suggested, was regionalising the Hospital Cup in its early stages.
I think
making it a pre-season competition, and you play the latter stages where it is usually held.
Essentially, there's people talk that you can move the Railway Cup to the end, or make the Railway Cup like a 16 cup or an 18 cup. I think if they change the Railway Cup to a 16 cup, it would make it more interesting. Because I think that just because it's tradition to keep things as they are doesn't mean it's always right to do that.
But there has been change, hasn't it? Because obviously the Hossie Cup's moved back to a Saturday now.
Yeah. Yeah,
and with the Super Saturday, or Super Sunday as it originally was, the two semi-finals being played simultaneously at Bella Fletcher.
Yeah, they're going back to the home and away. Yeah, I think they tried it because they thought it might work, and it might work if they try it again. Mm-hmm.
It was a good gate last time, a couple of years I've been down, and I think they usually do a charity bucket for Craig's Heartstrong, don't they?
I think it all depends on who the teams are as well.
Yeah.
And if there's other games on. If there's other games on, people are going to be playing, aren't they?
Yeah.
But if it's like well-supported clubs, then you're going to get a decent turnout, we would have thought.
So Castletown v Rushing now, how's he got final? Get a bit of a turnout there.
Alex Harrison, I think we know where he's going with this one. He says, Patty, would you consider yourself a Harry Potter guy or more of a Where's Wally fan?
never been a Harry Potter fan. But, funnily enough, my stag do, I was dressed up as Where's Wally. I'd like to share the photo of that one as well.
Where's Patty? There we go. That's it. There you go, Alex.
Next question's in from AD Callister.
We have politics on the podcast.
No, absolutely. So he'd like to know your views on Brexit and any potential impact it may have on the quality of pies served down at the stadium during the Southern 100.
I don't have any views on it at the minute. I don't think it'll affect us too much.
No.
The pies are secure, are
they? The pies are going to be from the same supplier as always, is that what you're saying?
Well, I don't know what we'll have next year.
Keep it interesting.
Speaking on the Southern, the camping thing seems to be working at the club this year. We've done wonders on the club this year. I've given mention to Billy, who spent a lot of time down there doing the old looking after the campers, and had the tent company that came over for TT Week, and Southern 100, you had a load of camper vans and stuff there. Did well to help the finances for the club.
I was going to say, it's a massive revenue stream, and you're not the only club that benefits in that respect, are you? But it probably does, it's a big bonus to your coffers, isn't it?
And that's what I think when you hear discussions of people talking Summer League, it won't work, because the Summer, a lot of clubs, you use the clubs for the camp, for like your Sub-100 and your MGP and everything else. I think you need to keep it as is. Maybe start a little bit later in September, perhaps, to give people a break. But I think Summer League, I don't think it would work personally.
No. Hattie, obviously a man that's been to see many more custom games than most. He says, what involvement do you have with the stadium development? So you've touched upon that. They've obviously, there's all sorts of shenanigans going on there in the recent years. Now you've got the new clubhouse now extended. Yes, you've done the changing rooms that have been redone, haven't you?
We were doing that for a number of years, and we got put back and put back. And John Denny did a lot of work in the start of it, and we kept putting plans in. And then kept getting refused, so we had enough funds for the new change facilities, new bar. The bar is a bit small, which people say, why have you gone for a smaller bar? But it tends to cater for the functions we tend to get bookings for. Mm. But we do have plans in a few years' time, potentially moving that bar out a bit,
right?
Which we might have make that bar extended. That's someone that's currently being talked about at the minute.
As long as there's room for you to dance on stools, that's fine.
that's sort of where we are with the development now. And if anyone's been down since it's been done, it looks a lot more modern than
it does.
It does.
I would just say, we're talking about the pitches though. It used to be a time that maybe two or three seasons ago that used to be called off quite a lot, but you seem to be a bit more bulletproof at the moment.
Our pitch tends to drain quite well. Last year it was horrendous across the board, the weather, wasn't it? But we generally we try and get the game on when we can. And we have the kids on the main pitch on the Sunday as well. With the juniors, the under-16s, Mike takes them as well as the combo. His weekend's fully taken up for all them. But pitch tends to drain quite well. Even the far pitch isn't bad. So not being sort of biased on it, but in terms of grass pitches, it's probably one of the best on the island.
Yeah, well, that's good. And he asks, what's your most memorable moment at town?
That's quite
few. You mentioned the Millennium Men, didn't you? That was
winning the league in 99 was good. I mean, I wasn't a senior player then, but if I had to pick, scoring a goal is always good.
Okay.
As an individual moment, I've scored one. I've scored an under-16s goal. I scored a goal for the Combi. They were both memorable in different ways. It's like the under-16s one. I got to start a bit of a story now. It made like a page in the program the week after. Patty scored. People that were there, who seen it, the celebration, I nearly decapitated myself. We had a rope around the pitch at the time, and I just went off and started running, and I didn't see the rope.
Oh no.
But that was great. But my other moment was the Combi. About 11 years ago, we played up at Jerby.
Right. And, always memorable, the trip to Jerby.
Oh, it was memorable. We had like some of the tabs playing in the nets. We had a few Dave Lachlan playing, and I came off the bench. We were 7-8-0 up or whatever. Last minute, or whatever. The ball comes through to me about 40 yards out. I thought I'm through on goalie, but the defender was gaining on me all the time, so I just hit it and it went crossbar in.
Belter.
It was brilliant. So again, when you score, it's like, oh, not used to score. What do I do? So I was like, then my shirt came off, and I started running, and then I did like one of those Klinsmann dives. But it's the middle of August, and the pitches are like that.
Oh no, road rash. So
ripped me chest to shreds. And then afterwards, the Jerby Hotel was still open, and there was like a christening on, and no one turned up. So there was loads of free cake and beer. That was a great. I was messy that night.
It's funny to talk about football celebrations, because I was going to bring this up at some point, but I watched Peel the other week, and Sean Kelly, obviously the big target man, has developed a tremendous Alan Shearer. It's run all up and then just runs, and hopefully that people will sort of cling on to him. But yeah, I've seen him do it a couple of times now, so it's one to watch out. If you're watching Peel, Sean Kelly gets a goal.
There you go.
See, watch your celebration. Right, let's look ahead to Saturday's fixtures with Patty while he's in. Starting off in the Canal Life Premier League, we've talked about it already. It's Moran versus Castletown, the big game of the day, the game I'm going to. So It's probably going to be called off now, isn't it?
Probably, yeah.
But you've described it as a six-pointer in your preview.
Forecast is grim today and tomorrow, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, don't steal his thunder, Patty. Very reads the weather coming shortly. But yeah, I would say, I don't know. Would you take a point, Patty?
I'd be happy with a win. the point's not bad. Mm. If we lost, it's not the end of the world either, because we're not in a too bad a position. But I think we can win this game. I think it'd be tight.
Mm.
A goal. I think we'll. If I would give a prediction, I'll say 2-3-1 Town.
Ashley Higginbotham's obviously the danger man from around. Will you have a man mark? Will you have a plan for him?
I'm sure Gary will have his plan devised before Saturday.
Doesn't want to give any time. But how's the team looking now for you guys? Are you welcoming back some of the guys this weekend?
You mentioned it.
I think Jack Kamara's playing this week.
Big plus.
Yeah.
There is one of the other. I think Noah Sands is still over as well, but I'm not too sure on it on the others, to be honest.
Yeah,
I'll have to wait and sort of speak to Gary later on and find out who we've got.
Dave, what are you saying for this one?
I think if Jack's back and the others, I think that's a major plus. I would tilt it in Castletown's favour then. But yeah, you mentioned Ash Higginbotham. You know, Dave Bruce's got a good side there.
Young Harry
Rothwell.
Horbury. Yeah, Horbury's had a great season. The young 8-16 keeper. Yeah. So. Yeah, it could set up nicely, this one, isn't it?
I think it is, yeah. It might sit on the fence. It could easily end in a draw, this one.
Yeah. I think this would get you 3 points on your coupon. I'm going for a score draw, personally. But home win for away win for Patty, and Dave joining me on the fence, are we?
I'm going to go for a Castletown win.
And there you go. Once he's been decisive.
yeah.
At the top of the league, St George's take on Douglas Athletics. St George's need the win just rub a stamp their Railway Cup spot, don't they?
Yeah, obviously they won a bounce back after their defeat to Peel last week. That ended their unbeaten start to the season. To be honest, I mean, you can't look too much into it because conditions were horrendous last week.
I think that's an understatement, Dave.
Yeah, it's not conducive to any free-flowing football going on at all.
Biblical up at Bala Fletcher.
Yeah, I can imagine. So, you know, Geordies were missing the likes of Johnny Myers last week. I don't know whether he'll be back, but... they'll be eager to win this one, and they should do. Dafko have had a bit of a tough run lately, haven't they?
They need to win to stay in Railway Cup contention, don't they?
I think Dafko's boat might have sailed on that, to be honest. But Geordies, as you say, Geordies need the win just to join. Corinthians and Peel have already sealed their place, haven't they? Final draw. So
if Dafko can win this, they would leapfrog Geordies up into fourth, and that would leave. That would be 11 games played for Dafko. It would leave Geordies needing to beat Castletown to get into the Railway Cup, so make it interesting. But yeah,
I don't think it'll come to think Geordies will win.
Yeah, at home it looks like a straightforward home win. So I apologise to all the Dafka boys, Craig and Matty and whoever else is listening, Mark Lillam of course, but it does look like a St George's win that one. Lachie versus Peel. I of course was at Glen Road last week to see Lachie in the horrendous conditions. I put a picture of my notes on Instagram this week. They
would look like some paper,
they look like an ancient manuscript that digging out of a tomb from somewhere. But no, they lost 2-1 last minute winner against St John's last week. To be fair, I think St John's probably just about did enough to deserve that last week. Again, a draw probably couldn't have argued with. But Peel will be a totally different kettle of fish, and should go into this one obviously with sky-high confidence levels after a good win over St George's.
Yeah, I completely agree. It was a funny game against Geordies for them. Peel were the better side in the first half and went in 1-0 down at the break, and then they just seemed to run out of ideas in the second half, and then Gaylor scored that cross. It was caught by the wind, and within 5 minutes they were 3-1 up. So as you say, confidence will be high. Rhys Oates is playing some great football, complimented all over the pitch obviously with Gaylor. When you've got Matty Woods in good form, Tom Wood at the back is playing well, so yeah, I think it's all signs point to an away win.
Patty, do you agree? Yeah.
Peter, if it's on, I mean, Laxey's pitch is one that's susceptible to...
Yeah, you say that last week, it looked good. I have to say, whoever's working on the pitch down there, used to be one of the first ones, or in that first three or four that used to get pulled, but it looked all right last week.
Magic.
Yeah, I saw him. He's got a new van.
Has he?
Big news. Yeah, out of Glen Road. Pop McKinnish got a new van.
Has he painted it green and white yet?
No, I think it was blue, if I remember correctly. The rain was in my eyes. But I didn't actually see where he went. And I don't know whether he. Oh no, yes, I did. I think he was sat on the big concrete steps with an umbrella.
Yeah, his dog with him.
But it was a horrendous day, and the pitch looked good. But as we've already alluded to, and Dave will reveal more later, but the forecast's not good leading up to the weekend, so it could be, as you said, the damage has already been done by Saturday.
Yeah.
But yeah, it doesn't look good for Laxey, does it? This really hard toiling.
It could be an interesting one at the bottom for goal difference and that, if Peel managed to put a hatful past them.
Yeah.
But which I think it's could be potentially happen on Saturday.
Sean Jackson, I must say, played well. I think he's in the team of the week, isn't he?
He
played well against the Johns last week. He'll be obviously trying his best against Peel, but he'll be a busy man, won't he?
He certainly will, yeah.
Russian versus St Johns. Now, Russian, complete with a new signing, a former Castown player, Patty, we alluded to earlier. Dan Hatsley scored his first goal for the club last week.
He did, I believe so, yeah. He was down at our place a few weeks ago. He had a look. I think he's more friends with a couple of the Russian boys. I think they've swung his interest rather than coming back to the Reds. Mm-hmm. But I think he'll be a good acquisition for them. I think they'll start. I mean, I think it's too late for the league, but they could push to get, do well in cup competitions this year if they've got Dan for the season. I don't know how long he's here for.
I don't know. I'd counter that point, Dave. It's not necessarily cut and dry in the league, is it, at the moment? With these teams capable of taking the points off, it just needs a bit of a run, and suddenly you're back up there, aren't you?
Yeah, it is. I mean, you look at it on paper, they are already, they're 10 points behind Peel at the top. They've got the game in hand. But yeah, things could change really quickly. And we've said it many a time, this will be the season when a team could lose 2 or 3, maybe even 4 games and could still go on to win the league. I do think it probably is a bit too late for Russian, but you never know. And
that squad is ridiculous now, though, isn't it? If you look at it on paper, they have a cliche alert, but an embarrassment of riches up front now, don't they? You know, if you've got the likes of Josh, Dan, Steve Riding, Jack Saxon,
they'll be playing players out of position, won't they? I would have thought, someone's going to be playing in the combi, aren't
they? Yeah. Steve Riding, I think, has actually moved into the centre midfield role.
Josh Kelly's back in form. Both him and Steve are both in team of the week this week. So if you look at that squad, as you say, it is good.
So they face a St John's team that actually showed a bit more St John's about them last week than they did after for a long time. They looked a bit more solid. It did shock me. Nick Ingham's in charge now. He seems to have steadied the ship. They've got some young players in that squad, and it's going to take time. Aaron Babb, Scott Rotherhams, Sam Beatty, and then Keon Brock, who came off the bench and did the damage last week against Laxey, against his former club. So it's going to be, I think people maybe underestimated that, in their early season form. They have got a young team. Obviously, there's the older heads there, the likes of Samingham, Nick Long. And of course, the returning Liam Harrison, who I thought the Fossil had a great game last week against Laxey.
Another team of the week this week.
St John's will be a tougher prospect than maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago, but it looks like a Spaniard's home win, unfortunately, for you, Pat.
that Russian win, I can't see St John's getting it, especially down Russian as well. I think St John's will give it a go. Couple of goals in it, though, Russian win.
Dave?
I think Russian will win this one comfortably.
Yeah, I think we all agree on that one. Final game in the Canolife Premier League on Saturday sees Douglas Royal welcome St Mary's to Bella Fletcher. This looks another comfortable win, but in the away team this time. St Mary's, obviously, I think they haven't quite... Have they sealed their Railway Cup spot yet, have they?
No, not yet, I don't think, but I think a win this weekend would certainly do it. It looks like they have got it. It's just dependent on results elsewhere.
Douglas Royal, any hope for them at all, Patty?
I can't see them getting anything out of the St Mary's this week.
What about in the season in a whole?
As alluded before, that they got the result against St John's. I think they've got to look to get the points against, like ourselves, the teams around them to stand any chance to survive. But the longer they stay on 3 points, the pressure's on them every week. So, I mean, to me, at the moment, they're my pick to go.
The plus side for Royal in the last few weeks, as well as that win that you mentioned, but Terry Regard's playing well for them. I think he was the best player against Castletown a couple of weeks ago. He's their danger man. So they'll need him to do the damage, but I can't see him getting anything at all this weekend.
Fastest bus driver in the West. JCK Division 2, start kicking off, I think, taking top billings, a sudden derby between Colby and Maloon. And there should be a bit of needle in this one, because there was about three or four players moved from clubs, Colby to Maloon in the summer.
Certainly is, yeah, and we're sending Hattie to this one, aren't we?
Yeah, I think he's a videotape. Make sure I pack an extra videotape for this one, because there's going to be a lot going on.
I think so, yeah. And obviously the lure of free subs at Malou is still holding strong. They got the likes of Carl Hickey, has moved from Colby this summer.
Steve Kelly's out.
Yeah. So Malou have got a very good squad. Obviously their unbeaten start to the season ended against Pulley recently, so they'll be desperate to bounce back. And they'll certainly start as favourites. But as I alluded to in my preview, yes, it's been a tough start to the season for Colby, but they go into this on the back of a win and a draw, so they're just sort of coming into a little bit of form. Mm. You never know, but I think Malou should win this.
What's the word on the street down south, Patty?
I think this would be a shock here. I think Colby can do them. Mm. See, I think Malou are in danger of going up. I think they've started off well, but I think Colby, they had their changes to their set up, they've got new manager in. We don't know what sort of team they're going to put out, but with the players they've got on their list, they've got potential in that team to beat most of the teams in that division. I think with being a local derby as well, be a bit of edge on it, I think Colby can give them a decent game.
I think, yeah, you could be right. I think this one's going to be closer than maybe many predict, but yeah, it will be an interesting one. It'll be a good test for Malou's promotion credentials as well, because this is where you win titles, isn't it?
Potential
banana skin, cliche alert. Just up the road, a long way up the road, Foxtel versus Ayr United. Foxtel will be favourites for this one, but Ayr are sort of bubbling along nicely again, aren't they?
Yeah, you know, they had a tough start to the season as well, but yeah, they're doing okay at the moment. But Foxtel, they're sitting pretty in third, they're level on points with Pulley. So yeah, they'll be keen to close the gap on leaders Youthy, and I think they'll be too strong in this one. I think they'll get the win.
Patty, a comfortable Foxtel win, but I'd probably more go for the postponement.
Yeah, sure. I think
the rain up Billy Oak Park might call that one.
Yeah, I think you're probably right there. I think that one might even be one of the first to go, maybe on Friday even. So yeah, Foxdale, postponement. Jims versus Ramsey, another game that possibly susceptible to a waterlogged pitch, but they did play there last week, didn't they?
They did. Our man on the ground, Sam Turton, was at that game. Mm. And obviously Jims got the win, their third win in the row.
Yeah.
They're flying up the league. You know, they're doing really well. Again, another tough start to the campaign, so they'll be full of confidence. They may just fancy causing a shock against Ramsey, but the Northerners will definitely start as favourites.
Patty, would you say Ramsey one of the favourites to go up?
I think they were picked as one of the teams to challenge for the league at the start of the season. I don't think they're there, but I think they're certainly going to be top four or five teams. I think they've got enough to beat Jims as well. Mm. Probably not comfortable, but probably by a couple of goals.
I see. Tony seems to be getting the band back together. Jim's part. Barry Harding's signed this week, returned.
From, legend.
Yeah, and obviously Mark Connor is already back. He signed in the summer. He's obviously offering them some of those lovely biscuits he gave us the other week. So, yeah, whatever works for you, though, Tony, I'm not knocking it.
Exactly.
Michael United versus Paul Rose. Again, this looks maybe a slightly one-sided encounter. Looks like you spoke to Steeler last week, didn't you? Paul, he should be making his playing return soon for Paul.
Yeah, I think this weekend will come a bit too soon, but he's hopeful of being back in the next few weeks. He's very happy with how everything's going. He says the lads are settling well and all pulling in the same direction. So, and hopefully we'll have him in on the podcast in the near future as well.
It's half the battle at Paul Rose, isn't it, getting everyone playing in the right direction? But yeah, this looks a convincing away win for me, Patty.
Yeah, probably I think it was one of my picks at the start of the season to go up, and I can't see that change. A couple of years ago, I think it'd be one sided game up there.
Although Blair Road, a bit of a leveller, you know, the wind coming in off the coast.
Potentially, but I think sometimes it can work at a disadvantage to Michael. If they go a couple of goals behind, we played up there last year. Mm-hmm. You know, you can end up winning by a few goals if they're not into the game.
Mm. Rycob versus Governors Athletic, obviously the leaders at the moment. Rycob,
top versus bottom. This, yeah,
undefeated. Are they one? I think are they the only undefeated side in Max Football at the moment? They, senior men.
The only other side, Mary's Combi,
of course.
Yeah, but Youthy are flying. They're 5 points clear. Granted, they played a game more than Pulley and Foxdale, but yeah. Governors have had one win to the name. They're rooted to the bottom of the table. This is going to be a long day of the afternoon for them.
Rag and Bone Sam seems to think they're just there's just missing something. They're nearly there, aren't they?
Probably him.
But they've lost a couple of games by the odd goal, haven't they? They've not been far off the pace.
No, they haven't. And all it takes is one good result to turn the season around, doesn't it? And it just instills that confidence. So, yeah, I don't think they're too far away from their second win, but I don't think it'll happen this weekend.
Patty, Youthy for you?
Youthy by a hatful, if I can.
Have they surprised you a bit? Because obviously they had a bit of a flux over the summer, one of our favourite words. Ray Leach taking over the managerial reins at the 11th hour, as it were.
Youthy, one of those clubs, I mean, they went up, down for about 5 or 6 seasons, and last year they were mid-table then. Because you've got all the northern powerhouses in the second tier, you always have the flux of transfers. I think they probably got the pick of the bunch there of whoever they've got the transfer there. To me, I think they're certainly going to be one of the teams to get our goal this
year. Teams to beat.
Yeah.
Well, here at first, do you think they've got the staying power, Dave?
I think so. I think they just seem to have the togetherness as a team now. I think. But obviously, they've got big tests still to come, so who knows?
Watch this space. Talking of spaces that are regularly filled, let's talk Coffee Corner.
Oh dear. Well, you just mentioned St Mary's, they are also still unbeaten. They took another big step on their march to the Company One title. They edged past rivals Old Boys 3-2 at the bowl. Very good result. And I don't know whether you saw this video online, but Nathan Halswell scored a belter.
I think it was shared on the St Mary's group. I think it was Megan Dooley taking it. He's got a free kick just out on the right.
Yeah.
And he's taking it, and it's bent. I don't know if there's any wind assist there, but it's bent top left hand corner. But
it was last Saturday would have been wind assist.
There was some bend on it though, wasn't it?
It was a cracking hit. It really was.
It reminded me of an old ISS free kick, to be honest.
So that was a big goal for them. Big result. Peel remained 5 points behind after they got the better of Geordie's 5-3 at Douglas Road. Danny Lane led the way with a hat-trick, and Aaron Constain got 2 goals as well, so it was obviously a good day at the office for the Westerners. Laxey's Combi, they're enjoying a decent season. They crashed St John's 5-1 to move up to 6th in the table. Unfortunately, and I'm sure people are aware of this, the Braddon versus Douglas Royal game was abandoned just after the hour mark.
Yep.
It was 4-2 at the time, but one of the Royal players wasn't well. I've spoken to the player in question, and he seems positive. He seems like he's doing okay now. They did have the defibrillator there, but they didn't need to use it, which is good news. But Craig Hartstrong Foundation did just issue a note for people to... for the clubs to check that the pads and the batteries are all okay with the defibs, just in case. In Combi 2, D&D stunned win champions Youthy 6-1 at Nobles Park. It was D&D's third win in a row, which takes them up to fourth in the table, so they're flying at the moment. It was also their second consecutive 5-goal winning margin. Mark Quirk bagged his 8th goal in 3 games.
Nice birthday present for Dave Matheson.
I won't tell you how old he was. So Onken remained 10 points clear at the top after braces from Sam Greasley and Joe Rees secured a 4-0 win at Maloo. Rees is banging the goals in for fun at the moment. And we mentioned Jim, so the first team are in good form, but the Combi are flying. They're up to second now. Governors Athletic, 3-1. While in the final game, Union Mills leapfrogged Foxdale after a 3-1 win of their own.
Good win for Mills, that.
Very good. So the Combi's doing okay for them.
Dave reads the weather.
Your favourite time of the week. But as you have alluded to, I'm afraid it's not looking too good. Heavy rain comes in later today, and then overnight, and then it arrives again tomorrow afternoon, coupled with some gale force winds, which will hopefully ease overnight. Saturday starts a bit better, but there's possible rain showers moving later on. So
what are you saying? Because last week you said about 20% games you reckon postponed, and you weren't far off actually. When you had 7 or 8 went in the end, didn't
it? Yeah, I got a bit higher this week, 50%.
You went half.
I reckon with the rain coming in early on, there's more chance of that postponement. I think there'll be a few off this week.
A rearranged week as well, so it was already a bit of a reduced programme. The under-18s league continued last night. Tom Kirby's report being in the Courier as always next week, on Friday, sorry. Big win for St George's. They beat Foxdale and their Ultras 4-0. I think they had missed a penalty though as well.
I think so, yeah. But Gary Waitman was obviously down taking photos. Sounded like a decent game.
Yeah, St George's sort of marching away at the top of that league though. I think they've already stamped their authority on that competition. Football Manager, did you see this last week, Patty? I put on our Facebook and on our Instagram pages the five
Manx players, I put that in there, who are in Football Manager 2019 this year. I'm discounting Kieran Tierney because he's too good now.
Yeah, he's in the stratosphere.
I've never really played it, to be honest.
Pay, this would be, you're a man that loves stats. This would be right up
database.
I used to, there was one, I'm going back, must be 15, 16 years, maybe more now. There used to be like a similar game called Premier Manager.
Oh, yeah.
You had to go into the chairman's and you watch yourself going into that. Oh, I got into that a bit, but I never played the Football Manager. But
that's the big revelation of the day, that.
That is. Well, you need to get it and create the Castletown team. Get them going up the league.
I used to do that on, like, what was the other football game?
Pro Evo or something.
Yeah. I used to create a Castletown team on that, but... Yeah, never had Football Manager. Do you say there's five Manx?
So there's five Manx lads, because obviously Dan Attersley was born in Bradford, but he was raised here, wasn't he?
Yeah.
And he's a free agent on it, so you can pick him up.
After a successful
season. Liam Doyle is the most expensive. He's obviously, after a good season at Nashville.
Do you think you'll be able to sign him this time round?
He snubbed me at York last year, so I'm not convinced. Adam Long's on there.
Of course.
Who else do we have on there? Shay Sharkey at Sligo. That's four. Hang on, who was the other one?
Cummins.
Yes, and Niall Cummins at Curzon Ashton. He's got some really good stats. It was pointed out that I think they've all got more than 10 on heading. So
yeah.
It shows the other man game is traditionally played in the air.
I think I remember Chris Bass being on one
many
years ago.
He was when he had a flirtation with Oldham Reserves, I think. Alan Cowley, I think, was on it when he was at Runcorn.
Yeah.
There's been a few. I was told that we saw a tweet this week. You see Ryan Williamson. Do you remember this story?
Oh, yes.
We had Grant and Dawson doing the podcast, last season or the season before. He missed out on being on Football Manager, but teammate Ryan Williamson obviously plays for Ramsey. He made it, so I think that was a thorn of contention.
Yeah, I think it was.
But yes, I think there's been several Manxies on it over the years.
Is Rowan Richardson, was he on it?
He was on it. Tom Cowley was on it.
Yes.
By Blacksea.
Yeah, was it Morecambe? Yeah.
There's been a few, yeah.
Oh,
send us in your screenshots and we'll retweet them.
Until Patty Quinney's on the game, though, it's not good enough.
I don't think that'll be on.
Right, Patty, thanks for coming in. Good luck on Saturday and for the rest of the season.
Try and get a couple of lads in next time.
Yeah, you were more than enough, Patty.
Exactly.
I really enjoyed that. Go on.
Just got a final note. The FA are running a referees course.
Of course, I forgot about this. Yeah,
referees course at Bowl headquarters this weekend. It's going to take place over Saturday and Sunday between 10 and 4, and it'll be led by Tommy Crowe. So get in touch with Kevin Maitland at the FA if anyone wants any more details, or just turn up.
Ever fancied reffing, Patty?
I've done the basic one. Yeah, I have, because with the juniors, being involved with the junior football as well on a Saturday, we had to do the basic refs course, and it was quite interesting. Yeah, it's worth doing.
Do you ever fancy it maybe a few years down the line?
No. not at a senior level. It's all right doing the juniors, but I think...
I find they're gobbier than the seniors.
if you're partial to a certain club, there's always going to be that
accusation
you get from the players, but there's too much grief. I mean, fair play to the ones that do it. You always give them grief on a Saturday, but because some the decisions they make, but you know, we need all the refs, because if you don't have the refs, you're not going to have the games.
Don't have a game, do you?
You don't fancy answering to Gael, so that's Crawley then on the pitch.
we should point out that actually, I think it was only because of the postponements by the weather last week that weren't games called off due to lack of referees.
Yeah, they were short.
So we should say, you know, this is your chance to put something back and, you know, earn a few quid for yourself on a Saturday. And that's not in bribes, that's in money from the clubs. On that bombshell, remember, you can listen to all our back catalogue, which numbers over 70 now, Dave. It's amazing. You think we'd be getting used to good at it by now, wouldn't you?
No chance of that, mate.
They're at audioboom.com/channel/maxfootball. We're on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, Deezer, and the rarely visited Google Podcasts.
Have you got any of them, Patty?
No. I'll go on the website and listen later.
Good answer.
Until next week.
Ta-ta for now.